Member First.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for. Even though kickoff isn't until 7, the game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
$1,999.
That's Ramsey's price for a 1-carat diamond, earth mined or created.
$5,999.
That's Ramsey's price for a 2-carat diamond,
earth mined or created.
2 carats is a very big diamond.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're like me, your pets are family. So when disaster strikes, you want to keep them safe. American Humane has tips to help protect our best friends in their worst times. So please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Can't miss a moment with Greeny.
If you were starting an NBA team right now and you could have your first choice of any human being walking the face of planet Earth, you started with Luka Doncic. And that's it. Giannis turns 26 in December. Luka turned 21 in February. He had 42 in a playoff game last night. And he has the ball in his hands at all times and has literally zero weakness in his game.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports, the GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Off and running in hour number 2. I'm going to play it again because it just absolutely tells you. Saints approach yesterday when they went into Denver. Coach Payton and Twitter Dave. Go ahead, plus play.
I felt bad for the cardboard fans. You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Felt bad for the cardboard fans. Basically, not caring that Denver had no quarterbacks. Twitter Dave, thank you for holding on through the top of the hour, sir. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. No, nice to hear that Brian's on the show.
Thank you, brother. Salute.
I just got a few points. I look at yesterday's game. Sometimes you could be a boxer, and sometimes you have to be a puncher. I think yesterday we were a boxer. It was boring. Floyd didn't lose no fights, being boring, because he had all the fundamentals down. He knew exactly what you were going to do, and he does all the things right. Even though it's boring, he'll still win the match. That's the way I looked at it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I actually enjoyed watching the offensive line work the way they did. I don't know. I can't say a whole lot about the game. Outside of that, you know, because it's not my taste. Because you get used to, you know, Sean Payton. You know, I mean, come on, he's ready to throw the ball 50 times. You know, but it was different. You know, would you agree with me, Gus?
I would, and then I will add to this to Brian, and we can get back to Twitter Dave. Does it show growth on Sean Payton? I absolutely do.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, ordinarily, Sean usually takes this as an opportunity, like you said. I'm going to air it out. I'm going to go. But I think his idea was, if I let Taysom go out there and just air it out, because we know that they can't score on us, what happens if he goes out there and he throws 4 or 5 picks? What does that do for him long term if that happens? So, yes, I definitely think it shows Sean's growth and maturity. I also think it kind of took me back to the Buffalo game. What was it, 2 years ago, when Sean basically ran the ball 24 straight times and Buffalo couldn't stop it? This was exactly the same thing against the Denver team. We're just going to beat up on you guys, get out of here with the win, and make sure we're as healthy as possible so we can concentrate on our division foe next week.
Twitter Dave, hold on, because Sean Payton spoke just a little bit ago. So this is today, after looking at the film and all of that. It's what he had to say on Taysom Hill.
It's a great question, because there's a catch 22 in there somewhere, right? And that catch is like, man, I'm trying to make an impression. I'm trying to prove that I'm a starter. I'm trying to, you know, all of those things. I understand that. And yet, you know what? Today's not the day. Today's the day to prove you aren't, but it's not the day that you know, in the way this game was going to unfold, you've got to pay attention and be smart enough to understand, you know, we're not going to learn the hard way today with a matchup. We had two starters out on the offensive line. Teron goes down with COVID, you know, a couple days before. And, you know, we're not going to sack fumble. We're not going to get turned over in our red zone, any of those things. You know, in that type of game, field position mattered a lot. 7 points in that type of game was the equivalent of 21. And that's just the way I felt that game needed to be played. And he did a good job of that. He had the one turnover, but I thought that, you know, lost in all of this. And look, man, make no mistake about it. That's a tough position to be in when you don't have any quarterback, but there's not been one thing written about it. Well, how'd they give up 225 yards rushing? You know, in other words, if there was one thing that was going to happen, if you lost all your quarterbacks, is that you were going to bow up defensively. And so I was proud of how we ran the football. I thought our guys up front towards the end of the game, we won that battle pretty clearly.
Sean shortchanged himself, Twitter Dave, 229 yards is what they won. And again, you just heard it from the man himself. That's how he wanted to go about it. And it's why, Brian, I say he showed growth yesterday and why I'm starting to put this guy in a different level. Because you know what came to mind? The Rams game of a couple years ago where Tampa, pouring rain. I was on the sideline.
Yes, and he's throwing a ball.
And he's throwing the ball everywhere. So he's grown as a coach. He said, you know what? Let's go there. Take care of your business. 8 straight. KC's playing Tampa. That's a tough game. And now look at him. And look, they're 8 straight. Now they're going to go face the Dirty Birds, Twitter Dave.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. It's boring, conservative, but that's the way it's got to be. You know, sometimes you're the boxer versus the puncher. That's exactly what I just said. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that I have one question for Brian real quick. On the 3-week, they gave a 3-week notice the healing process for
Drew Brees.
Okay, now I've talked to a doctor about it because you know I pick people up all the time, and I talk to doctors, and generally it's a 6-week process. Okay, now the only way that could happen is if he's the fastest healer on the planet. Otherwise, this is 11 bones and mess up his lung on that hit. If you look at it, he didn't pancake him all the way. And you can't. I'm not buying that. Now, so he was probably already in a process of healing. Would y'all at least agree? Say the timeline of this is a little, I don't know, off.
It does seem like that when you kind of step back and look at it a little bit. And of course, you know, when it comes to Drew, it's going to always depend on exactly the extent of the injury. Because of course, prior to the guy landed on him in Tampa, it was said that he had actually, you know, injured himself the week before that.
Right.
So I think that plays a little bit of a role into it. So, of course, we're talking about depending on how many ribs it was the first time. So let's say out of the 11, 6 the very first time he broke them were fractured on his left side. Then he does it on the other side because he lands on that side. Now he has now that's the 5 that are fractured. Well, it's going to take that. You got one more week of the first set of ribs healing than you do the second week. What I do think is that once Drew's able to give it a go and he's not experiencing this, because we saw him play with broken ribs, basically.
Yeah.
Once he's able to get back to playing, even with the broken ribs, he'll be out there. That's why I think if I'm a betting man, I'm going to say it's likely he's back for Kansas City.
That's what
it's definite he's back for Minnesota. Yeah,
that's what I keep saying. You got the Falcons this week at Philadelphia. Again, that's a cold place. That's out there.
You don't want the ribs in that
cold
weather like that.
Why there? I'm looking at Chiefs this week. And look, and even still, that's an AFC game. Minnesota is an NFC game. He's got that game, the Panthers game. That's two full games to get going before you go to the playoffs.
And here's the thing, before we let you go, Twitter Dave, it's also the idea that the Minnesota Vikings are actually in a position to where they're starting to creep up a little bit. I believe they're 5-6 right now, so they're right there on the cusp. If they can get a little bit of a win streak going, they might come into, you know, to New Orleans
that's
saying that
they're,
you know,
game
exactly, a very big game, especially on Christmas, and a team that you have very, like, you know, very much struggled to beat lately.
5-6.
So I think that's also an important game, and that's why you'll probably have Drew back for that one. But you want to make sure he goes up against a lesser defense in Kansas City first. That's why I think the timeline is the way it is now.
Yeah, I agree. I, I was figuring KC, but I mean, you might be right on the NFC AFC thing, but you know, I honestly, I don't see us winning KC without him. Just because they're the one of three best teams, and I'm going to give the Saints is going to be the one of the three best teams. Obviously, Pittsburgh is going to be up there, but yeah, you might be right. It might be Minnesota, but hopefully this time around, Gus doesn't pick Minnesota. I'll let you
well,
on that.
Well, just saying, Twitter Dave, thank you for the phone call. They are the eighth seed right now. They're one game behind the Arizona Cardinals. To Brian's point, they are absolutely not out of the playoff race. One quick thing, and it will go to Uncle Earl. This is Sean Payton's comments this morning or this afternoon on being on losing the draft pick. Remember, fined $500,000, and they lost a draft pick for celebrating after Tampa Bay in the locker room without a mask.
Wondering if you had any comment on the NFL's decision to dock y'all a draft pick and if that decision
comment. No, you can ask Mickey or somebody. I haven't been involved in any of that. I haven't seen any. I wasn't even aware of it. In fact, I was one of the last people to find out. So you might want to ask Mickey.
Now, do I believe that for a minute?
Not for a minute. I think that's again, we keep saying, Sean's showing a lot of grace.
Yes.
He really is.
Because, no comment.
Let me tell you something. Saints fans would have gladly answered that on his behalf.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that one.
I'm sorry. It's a sucker. You know what? Uncle Earl, thank you for giving us a call here. What you got, man?
Hey, Gus, happy Monday. Brian, hope y'all doing well, man.
Doing Salute, well, brother. Man. How you doing?
Hey, Gus, worst case scenario, like from your past caller, Drew is going to come back. Worst case, is there, and Brian can ask this too, answer this, is there like a slim possibility Drew won't come back? And if we have to go with Faison in the playoffs, how do y'all guys feel? What do we have to do to, I mean, is it a bunch of redoing a lot of stuff, Gus? I mean, just running the ball like we've been doing and not put – I mean, I think teams are going to stack the line against us then. I mean, is Drew pretty much coming 100% back? We just don't know what game, correct?
Or I mean, that's the goal, right? That's the goal for him and that's the goal for the team. And, look, you've seen quarterbacks play with injured ribs and things of that nature. So he's going to come back. Look, I'll say this, Brian. It goes back to why I keep thinking, and you agree with me, transformation. Uncle Earl, I understand the question on, you know, they're redoing stuff. You heard Sean say it last week, and he's reiterating it again this week on this team's good enough to play the type of game that they need for that particular week. They have a DNA on who they are, but it's why I said this year they can handle it even better than last year in terms of no Drew Brees because, Brian, their offensive passing philosophy is 15 yards and in. I mean, that's what they've been doing. That's with Drew. They run the football now. Sean did it this year. He's run it with two backs. When Taysom started, Taysom carried 10 times against the Falcons. The running backs carried 25 times amongst the two. So I think out in the cold, whoever you play with or without whatever quarterback, this team is built to withstand that. And more importantly, to play whatever type of game Sean feels they need to go in that week. You have the defense ascending, built from the D-line back. You have now two athletic linebackers. I mean, we haven't even got the Quan Alexander's game yesterday. And you have a back end that's finally starting to get some interceptions. I don't care who they're playing. That allows me to play whatever game I need to play against whatever opponent.
Yeah, I'm hey, right Gus, there with you.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I agree. Hey, Gus, first of all, I don't want to see Minnesota in the playoffs if they're fighting for a spot. It's a bad matchup. I don't like it. I get nightmares from it the last couple of years. I don't want to see it. And I'm talking, hey, and y'all guys know Kansas City is one of the best teams. But I tell you what, and when we do play him, Gus, I think that Sean Payton's going to keep a lot of stuff to the vest because this might be a pre-Super Bowl game, and I don't think we'll show a lot. What do y'all think about that? Y'all have a great week.
Well, first of all, Uncle Earl, man, thanks a lot for the phone call, brother. Salute to you. I hope you and your family had a wonderful holiday moving forward. You guys just stay safe. But as far as the potential matchup, I think this. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, for when I looked at the schedule early in the year, I was like, wow, that's going to be a crazy game. And that's with Drew Brees and everybody healthy. Now, as the season has went on, with or without Drew, Kansas City have shown some chinks in that armor. They're not the team that I thought they were.
I was about to tell you there's one team I do fear in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and it ain't Kansas City at this point.
It's Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh.
That defense could stop Taysom Hill in whatever running game the Saints
Correct. Have. Now, as far as the first question that you asked, do I think Drew's actually going to come back, or is it Drew's coming back, especially if the Saints continue to go? So just now while you guys were talking, you and Gus, I looked it up. Well, first of all, Minnesota is a team that we don't want to see, but they have a little bit of a tougher schedule. They've got Jacksonville coming up. That should be a win. But then they have Tampa. They'll have the Saints. And, of course, they got Detroit, which is a rivalry game. They have Chicago as well. So they got some division games wrapped inside of two big games with Tampa and, of course, New Orleans. So Minnesota could possibly fall out of the playoffs. But then again, Arizona falling is just a whole nother scenario. That being said, I think if the Saints can get that first round bye, mm-hmm. which I believe they're in the best position to do so, then that means that gives you one extra game for Drew to kind of heal up and get ready.
Right.
There's no scenario in which I see Drew Brees missing the rest of this entire season if the Saints make the playoffs, and should they be able to advance. I don't see it happening.
Here's the other thing, too. Remember, one bye, everybody else plays. So right
Correct.
Now it's 2-7. It'd be Packers versus Cardinals. If it's the Vikings, it's Packers versus Vikings.
For a third time this
year.
So,
yeah. Seahawks, Bucks, Giants, Rams right now. If the season were to end today, one quick bite that we'll do to break, buddy. I just want to play. This is Sean Payton on something that I think is important. Not that it's going to happen, but if they lose the rest of the games, they would finish 9-7. That is a fourth straight winning season.
There's a lot of things that you look back on and you're excited about. I mean, fourth straight winning season, that probably tells me it's coming from a program that hasn't had much success or history of success. And I'm being just honest. So I'm glad that that's four in a row. Certainly, I our aspirations are much higher than having a winning season. That's all. So I don't really look at that and footnote it.
Brian, in the studio,
Super Bowl
I,
bust.
I, yep,
yeah,
in the studio, I pointed straight up to the ceiling. Yeah. This isn't college where it's congratulations, you're 6-5. He's saying, because what do you say? That means you're from a program not winning. He's still bothered by those 379 seasons.
Absolutely.
One was league created, of course, as we know, and the other two, that's 2 years that wasted Drew Brees. So, yeah, he's not happy with it.
Now, on that last Sean Payton bite you played,
in
which he talked about the idea that, Taysom played the game the way he wanted to, while he's talking, I had a sneaking suspicion that this week, 35-plus passes. At least 30-plus passes for Taysom Hill this week.
Oh, but I tell you, I thought you were going to say about Jameis Winston.
No.
Okay.
Jameis ain't getting in the game. Because Sean is hell-bent right now. I think the Denver game only galvanized him more.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is hell-bent on showing everybody that he was right about Taysom. He kind of was able to poke out his chest a little bit after the first Atlanta game. This game, not so much.
I'll say this as we go to break and then bring in Marlon Favorite. I mouthed it to you on a couple of bites already today. If you don't think Sean Payton's locked in this year, this guy is locked in. He knows his team. He knows his opponents. I'm telling you, this guy is doing his best coaching job he's ever done.
Sean is
this
basically
guy is
the CIA right now.
In right now. He acted like Vic Fangio wasn't going to show him anything he wasn't ready for.
Yeah.
And didn't apologize.
No.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Marlon Favorite. Oh, man. How you doing this weekend, man? How are you doing on this Monday, Marlon?
Goose, I'm all over the place, baby. But guess what? It's beautiful, but cold out there.
There you go.
Hello, somebody.
See, he's looking at the bright side of things. Brian Bienemy, Gus Kattengau with you. Marlon Favorite, you can follow him on Twitter at BigFave504, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Where do you want to begin? You want to begin back on Thanksgiving? Well, no, we talked about that on Friday. So you know what? No cowboy talk. You're good. No cowboy talk. Your take on the Saints, because LSU's the bigger issue right now. But New Orleans went in there 8 straight. The line, man. D-line showing strength again, stopping the Broncos run, knowing you have to run. And then also on the offensive line, as Sean Payton said, you don't have your starting left tackle because of COVID. Your left guard has a concussion. So we're going to have to play a certain type of game, and it was ground and pound, and they did it. What did you think of the trenches by the Saints yesterday?
Well, I thought both lines played exceptionally well. I'll start offensively. Coach Sean Payton wanting to go heavy Taysom Hill, quarterback run, and that's a big job on an offensive line, particularly the guys from the guards to the tight end. The center job is always a difficult piece just for the simple fact of having to do all the checks with the quarterback. But I thought that they blocked exceptionally well against a team, a Denver defense that showed how valuable they are, right? Now, on the defensive line for the Saints, it is extremely impressive, and it really puts me in the mindset of when I played at LSU and the depth that we had at that position is really saving them. You know, you have guys like Shy Tuttle. He gets significant reps. Malcolm Roach, Ryan Glasgow, who I thought did an amazing job on stopping the option on one play. And then you have your starters, David Onyemata, Malcolm Brown. Cam Jordan has been playing exceptionally well. I mean, I don't even know what a starter stop with Trey Henderson being, what, the third leading sack leader in the NFL, and Marcus Davenport playing better. I mean, I just named a lot of guys, and all of those guys touched the field. The Saints have depth, and that's what impressed me the most about their defensive line, and they're utilizing very cheap talent exceptionally well.
Marlon, I kind of want to, you know, stick to the trenches as far as, you know, what the Saints are able to do. They're getting Sheldon Rankins back, and he's healthy. Another added body, former first-round pick, added to that D-line that's already playing exceptionally well. And the Saints right now have the number one defense, but for my money, they might have the best front seven in the NFL right now. When you look at it and when you break it down, man, what do you think is the biggest difference between the Saints this year versus kind of even maybe last year at this time, to where it just seems like the D-line is playing, you know, just lights out?
What up, B-Baby?
What's good, fam?
Man, cooler, man. Proud of y'all boys over there. But what I think the difference between this year and last year is, what I mentioned to Gus, they have more depth, man. They dealt with more injuries last year on the D-line. And when you have – when I mentioned to Gus about – it reminded me so much of when I was at LSU, we had depth. Like, we dressed 11 guys. 11 guys traveled. Like, I was a sophomore the year Hurricane Katrina hit, and I had opportunity to rotate – in with a line that was already 8 deep. So what that creates is fresh legs. You get fresh legs. You don't have to – now you're getting a 93% Cam Jordan as opposed to a 75% Cam Jordan, because you could just simply put Trey Henderson in or rotate on the other side, Davenport. Most importantly, where the beef is inside with David Onyemata and Malcolm Brown, you know, those guys are clog the hole, take on a double team. When you can rotate and not drop off, rotating in a Ryan Glasgow or a Malcolm Roach, you know, you win. And so I think that's the biggest difference this year, the depth on the defensive line.
And it's what you like, you always focus on, man. It's inside the trenches. And it's one of the things why, you know, we've had a couple calls here in this past hour about, you know, fearing certain teams or, you know, can you go outside and play or can you play these certain quarterbacks? Look, I think what is going to be interesting for me to see, Brian, is how they take on a team like Kansas City. They get rid of the football quickly. They have weapons everywhere. Mahomes has, ability to move in and out the pocket. But I watched that game last night. They didn't score in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, Kansas City is still capable of that, but for whatever reason, I'm not bagging on the 10-1 for a reason. But Marlon, I think that's going to be a fun test for me to kind of look at. Not that I'm overlooking Atlanta to put up 40 points, but look, that it went again a couple of weeks ago, Brian. They didn't score a touchdown, the Falcons, and they put up 40. So that's why I think I am a believer in the Saints defense right now.
Gus, let me tell you something. Atlanta is probably one of the ugliest trap games I could ever see come, like, play a game, miss a game, then come back to them. Because you go back to the beginning of the year, we did lose to Vegas, and they beat the brakes out of Vegas. So you don't know what Atlanta team you're going to get. But in a time when your starting quarterback is hurt and you don't have trust in Jameis Winston, well, we'll get to the Taysom Hill thing in a minute, you have to be able to have a defense that's stout, that can play, that can eliminate teams from scoring points. You know, I think they didn't even have a rushing touchdown in the last few games. They're playing at a high level. Jamario Davis, arguably, they better not rob him this year. That's my boy. I hit him up every once in a while. He deserves an all-pro mention to go to the Pro Bowl because he's doing that. He is a difference maker on that defense. You add Kwame Alexander to that. It's just this Saints defense, in my opinion, is playing like a top three, top two defense in the NFL right now, if not number one.
Marlon, before we kind of switch gears and start talking about, you know, some of the skilled players, let's keep it inside the trenches one more time, and let's talk about the idea as a defensive lineman. Now, we've talked a lot about the Saints D-line, but without two starting offensive linemen, the Saints O-line were able to basically just wear Denver down by consistently running the ball as a D-lineman. When that offensive line is just steadily just grounding and pounding, man, at what point does it break your will, and could we see the Saints try to institute maybe a similar strategy for the Atlanta Falcons, who doesn't have the rotation that maybe a Denver does, or maybe the type of defense a Denver does? Do you think we'll continue to see this ground and pound, and if so, how do you think it wears on the defense? At what point do you guys just break and say, you know what, we can't stop them?
Well, B, you look at our schedule, still having Kansas City on the schedule, still having to go against Carolina and Atlanta. You know, guys do get smart. So pounding ground is going to be hard moving forward. Like right now they're doing well with that. But when you're asking the offensive line to do that much pounding and grounding, it wears on. It does. It'll work against weaker defensive lines, like you mentioned, against Atlanta. But when you go against a more hybrid defense facing a Kansas City, it will matter. And that's where my concerns come in with Taysom Hill. Just watching that game yesterday, he's not throwing the – look, he is Tebow to me, man. He really puts me in the mindset of Tim Tebow because he has the ability to throw. We had an opportunity to see a kid that was on a practice squad who last week at this time just thought he was going to get another practice squad check. Didn't know he was about to add another zero. Hello, somebody. Check right now in Denver. So he's going – he got a beating yesterday, but he's going to enjoy that active roster check this week. But, you know, you look at it, Taysom isn't that. He isn't him. But at the same time, I don't know if we're going to – when the passing is not working, when we go against Tyrann Mathieu and guys like that, when that gets shut down, he's going to have to make, those smaller window throws. He's going to have – it can't go to – those guys will play with the safety in the box. That's just Mr. Tyrann. That's what he do. So I like it. But it is more of a package as opposed to this is what I'm going to. Because the Saints have the defense right now to go to the Super Bowl, bro. Mm. For real. They'll play Kansas City. You saw them. They put on a circus yesterday. Boy, Patrick Mahomes looked so comfortable in that pocket. So that is a bit concerning with Taysom moving forward.
Marlon, I want to switch on over. I'm going to have Eric Alexander coming on here at 2:30. But the score was 20-7, but it felt like 50-7. T.J. Finley pulled from the game. Terrace Marshall, who called a players-only meeting 2 weeks ago leading in Arkansas, calls it a season yesterday. what do you say about where the LSU football team is with early signing period, Marlon, right around the corner?
I still think that this is a team that in the next year, next season, and in the following season, is still going to be a contender. Here's why I say that. You're dealing with a number of things. What you're dealing with, if you put enough air in that balloon, it's going to pop. And when it pops, it bursts everywhere. And that is LSU 2019. See, Coach Ed Orgeron, like how they say, boy, your mama must have put her foot in that gumbo. He put his foot in the recruiting, both grad transfers and bringing guys in from high school and from JUCO. He put his foot into that year, Joe Burrow, Cole Tracy, you know, having guys in state stay like Jamar Chase and Jordan Jeff, Justin Jefferson. And then all of those guys went to the NFL or opted out with COVID. And now you're stuck with a developing recruiting class. Jaqueline Roy is getting significant reps as a freshman who's not ready. He's not ready, Gus. He looks much better now, but because he's going through the ringer. So you have a group of guys right now. You know, I could say Adams. I could go on. Elias Ricks, who in his first three games had an interception and, you know, had a targeting call last week. You know, you have Keyshawn Boutte. Odell Beckham, you know, Jamar Chase type catch that they stole from him in that game. It's a young team that's going to be really good, guys, moving forward to next year. These are just some ugly growing pains. And then, like, you beat these teams, everybody got paid back. So what I think about this team right now, Terrence Marshall, to start with him, Gus, and to wrap up this piece of it for me, Terrence Marshall is one of those guys, in my opinion, that this was – when he had that talk with the team, that was the warning sign right there. And then, boom, today. And I respect his decision, and I totally understand his decision. T.J. Finley, you mentioned him. You know, you're dealing with two freshmen. You can look in those kids' face. I mean, you know, Max is pretty poised because he has, you know, pedigree. But, you know, T.J. looked like he was ready to cry at a couple points. He's going to be an all-SEC quarterback. So this is just a team we're going to have to be patient with and know that the years come once his recruiting kick up will be much better.
Marlon, you mentioned, you know, the recruits that came in and basically found their way to the NFL. But what about December 16th? Because a lot of those recruits coming up, you know, can you know, I guess, take it to where they may not want to be with the LSU Tigers because, of course, kids are real fickle, especially at this age to where, you know, when it came to LSU, LSU looked like a winning program. Now guys like Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin and, of course, Mike Leach, these offensive, you know, masterminds, and Nick Saban is just the guru of them all. Now they can kind of, you know, they have bones to pick now. Now they can say, you know what, why would you go there? LSU's not going to win for another 3-4 years. Do you want to be a part of that? Or do you want to come here where we're already building? We don't have the expectations, but you can help us win. Or in Nick Saban's case, I'll be at the top of the mountain. Come, you know, meet me there. Don't beat me there.
One thing about, you mentioned Coach Saban. One thing about Coach Saban, he may dip a year or two, but because they built the tradition and been so many times a recent champion, he's going to be able to keep those guys there. But you look at this recruiting class, guys like Sage Ryan, you know, Derek Davis, a couple of guys that we got committed in areas that we need, you know, talented guys. I do think that the national championship is still so fresh that those guys want to go to LSU and compete for it. So that's going to be a job on the staff with recruiting. I mean, this is, you're going to have to continue to sell. We just won a national championship. So you'll get that year or two, but, I mean, it's going to fall down to the fruit.
As always, we enjoy going in the trenches with Marlon Favre. That's his name of the podcast, by the way. If you want to go check it out, go do so. And also, of course, every single Monday and Friday right here at Big Faye 504. Thank you, as always, sir. Talk to you soon.
Salute,
big
brother.
Dog, big as a gorilla. See y'all, fella.
Here he goes. When we come back, Eric Alexander will give his take on what's going on in Baton Rouge. So Marlon says, don't worry about it. Next year, the recruits will help. Let's see what Eric has to say. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. If only I thought of the sweet summer breeze.
This past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter, and now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations. I'm Alan Jones, founder and CEO of Bambi. I created Bambi specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain compliance for $99 a month, seriously. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime.
Go to Bambi.com/max to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/max.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Casey Gistler.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Stan Van Gundy. David Griffin met with local media within this hour or so. So kind of touch on some of the highlights that he had to talk about. Zion playing a 3, Brian. We'll touch on that. Plus, Stan Van Gundy laying out the 4 areas he would like to see the Pelicans defense improve on. Sounds like a plan to me. I like that. There's a plan. So we'll talk about that. He lists them out. We'll discuss that coming up at 2:45 here in about 10 minutes. First, though, I want to bring in Eric Alexander at @EA_LSU Tiger. He's over on LSU Game Day Live. He's an analyst for CST. Of course, won a national championship with LSU and a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots. Eric, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gus. Thanks for having me on.
We just talked with Marlon Favreit, and he's still hopeful for LSU next year. Says, look, the recruiting is going to be good. It's going to help. The year that LSU won the national championship, Coach O was really active in it and bringing in players like Joe Burrow, et cetera. But my question was to him, seeing what's happening over there, December 16th, not far away, are you concerned that it could affect recruiting by the way certain things have happened and unfolded this season?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The current events that are happening in around the LSU program, I mean, I think it could negatively affect recruiting. And you're crazy if you don't think that way. And the guys who have committed, it is a strong class. But when I look at the players, the young players in particular that LSU already has on the roster, let's just look at it. They have some nice young skill players, a lot of them that are getting a lot of playing time from this year from guys opting out. So I think they're set there. But where I'm most concerned with is, you know, where Marlon, where he makes his money in the trenches, right? Mm-hmm. I'm concerned with the defensive and the offensive line. That's where, we've gotten the recruits, but we've seemed to not have been able to develop them properly to where they could perform each week. Now, a few years ago when Alabama came and spanked us in Tiger Stadium, what was the first thing that Coach O said? We got beat up front, right? We need to start recruiting better there. We need to get better on the offensive and defensive line. Well, clearly this year they've digressed in that area. They can't block a soul, and the quarterbacks are running for their lives.
One of the things that was interesting, and then Brian's got something for you, is Coach O at the end of the game said it, he didn't care for the game plan, didn't call for the amount of runs, and that they got to be able to run the football, things of that nature. What do you say to that? Because at the end of the day, I guess you are the head coach. You probably approve or don't approve or at least understand maybe some of the game calls. Does it just go to, look, if the line's not doing its effort or I don't know, I guess just the whole season, right? It's, I don't think it's just this game, Eric. LSU hasn't been able to really run the football this year.
Well, the thing is, in some games they have. I mean, they rushed over 200 yards against South Carolina. I know that may not be saying much. They did it last week against Arkansas, so obviously, they can run the ball, but I guess it's against, you know, subpar competition. So, I mean, you know, they've been able to run the ball now. They were coming in to this game against Texas A&M against one of the better run defenses in the country, let alone the SEC. So, I don't know how he was expecting to be able to run the ball, you know, this week. So, and if that was the game plan, you know, sometimes game plans have to change during the course of the game. If something's not working, you have to go to a plan B. And their plan B was obviously to throw the ball more. But when you can't protect, you can't block the guys up front, and they can get home with four people, I don't know how you plan on, you know, being able to throw the ball with any kind of efficiency.
Eric, I kind of want to take it as a overall picture of the LSU Tiger program right now. And my goodness, what a difference a year makes, right? It's, if you look at where the Tigers were at this time last year on their way to, you know, to a national championship, and then it looks like the bottom dropped out. How does LSU as a program maybe rebound from this? And I don't just mean the things on the field, but off the field as well.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's just going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of people, starting with the head coach to the administration, to the AD, just to, you know, take a look in the mirror, and if you made some mistakes along the way, we need to right those wrongs to go ahead and get this thing back on the right track. I mean, LSU is a great institution, and I'm happy to have you know, gone there and gotten 2 degrees from there, but if, you know, we just have to go ahead and man up, you know, and admit that, you know, some things weren't handled the right way, and go ahead and start handling them correctly, because that's the only way. That's the only way that this thing is going to get fixed, and things are going to get turned around. Now, like I was saying before, I mean, I think the players are there, and the recruits that are committed, if they, you know, hold on to those commitments, I mean, they're going to recruit well, and I think LSU will rebound at some point. Now, how quickly that happens, that's going to be determined on how hard they work in the off season and how committed the players are and the team leadership. What are they going to say when this off season comes around, and what are they going to do to get this team right? In the offensive line, man, they got to get better. It's the bottom line. And I know LSU, I think they won a war for the best offensive line last year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they were actually the best offensive line last year. You know, Joe Burrow made up for a lot of mistakes that the offensive line made last year with his movement in the pocket. A lot of people took that for granted, that he made a lot of those offensive line right. You think about, the running backs that they had who were getting out in routes and catching balls when Joe had to get out of his hand quickly, or picking up blitzes. I mean, that's one thing that Clyde Edwards-Helaire did well last year. He picked up blitzes, and when it was time for him to get out on a route, be the hot throw, he was there and he would catch the ball. So Joe Burrow and the running backs made up for a lot of mistakes that the offensive line made last year. So I think as far as developing the players that we already have on the offensive line, that should be priority number one for LSU. I think defensively they will get better because they will have a spring this year, and they got better last week against Arkansas, and they played well this week against Texas A&M. So they've shown improvement, and I hope to continue to see that improvement.
Speak with Eric Alexander, LSU Game Day Live over on CST. It's a great point, Brian, that Eric's bringing up, because the play that many considered won Joe Burrow the Heisman in the SEC championship game against Georgia was a scramble to his right in which he threw the touchdown pass, and that was not in the pocket with protection. Brian, what you got?
Yeah, and I kind of want to, you know, I guess piggyback off what you were saying about the idea that the talent is there and they've been playing a little bit better. You know, it almost seems like LSU is now the, you know, the line from, you know, from Friday is that, you know, they never got two things that match. Now you got a defense, but your offense can't put up any points. So you take that and you kind of roll it into what we have coming up with the Alabama game. And it's a team that doesn't like you. It's a coach that kind of, you know, turns his nose up at you every time you're mentioned. And now you got to go up against the bullies on the block, you know, a team that's looking up for revenge. I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, man, is LSU able to put up a fight long enough to make this game even a thought? Or is it, you know what, we'll just, you know, we'll burn the tapes before it even happens and we'll worry about the next game?
Well, they, obviously, they're going to have their hands full this week. I mean, they just, all the pieces aren't there. I mean, just to put it frankly, I mean, they're just not good enough. The things that hurt them 2 years ago as far as, in, you know, amongst the offensive and defensive lines are going to hurt them this week. I don't think Alabama is as good defensively as they have been in the past, but obviously we don't have the same offense as last year. I think we can game plan some particular plays to get the ball out of our quarterback's hands to our playmakers and with the ball in our hands. If that doesn't happen, LSU doesn't have a chance. If they expect this offensive line to hold up and have the LSU quarterbacks hold the ball back there for 3 or 4 seconds, and they can go through reads and progression, they're going to be out of luck because that's just not – they can't do that right now. They haven't been prepared to do that all year. So I don't see them being able to establish a run game. So the next best thing is to have your short passing game be an extension of the run. So I'm hoping that they come up with a game plan that's going to, you know, get the ball into their playmakers' hands, and see what they can do with it, you know, some run after catch type stuff.
And I was going to ask real quickly, Eric, before we toss it back over to Gus, man, do you think LSU should just scrap conventional wisdom and just pull out maybe a all hands on deck type of situation to where they're running fake punts and fake field goals and just basically throwing it to the wind and just saying, you know what, we've got nothing to lose, so let's just play like that?
Yeah, almost to a point, Eric, where you're sitting there going, look, our season has been, right? Well, you know what? Are you a Tiger? What's that logo on the helmet? I mean, it's time to show pride here and go out there, and because you could wreck their season. I mean, here's your shot right now. What better way? I know last year tasted great at Tuscaloosa, the one that, but that was that team. You're not doing that this year. You want to make a name maybe this year and salvage something? Go wreck it. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to play the game on the field, man.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they could do something like that, but I don't necessarily think that that's their identity. I mean, how many games we have left in the season? I mean, if they were going to do something like, you know, start the game plan like that where they throw in some trick plays, kind of like a Missouri did. I don't know if you remember that Missouri game. They had trick plays all over the place. I think they can scheme in a couple of those plays, but having that be your bread and butter, I think it's kind of too late for that. So, I think LSU is going to try to establish run because that's what they want to do, and then also keep Alabama's offense off the field if they can generate some first downs and keep that clock running. If that doesn't happen, I think they resort to a short passing game to make it an extension of the run game. And if that doesn't work, well, I don't know. We're going to be in for a long day. We're going to be in for a long day anyway. But, hopefully Alabama runs the ball. And we can kind of wave the white flag there towards the end, you know, fourth quarter.
As always, man, I appreciate the conversation. If you'd like, we can chat again later towards the end of the week and come up with a couple of matchups and maybe things that can give LSU fans a little hope.
Yeah, that would be great, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds good, man. Go give him a follow. It's Mr. Eric Alexander, part of LSU Game Day Live. He's an analyst over there at CST and world champion and national champ. He's a two-time champ, Brian. Both levels.
What happened to you?
I'm a two-time intramural champ, Eric. I'm a two-time intramural champ.
Yeah, and I'm an eight-time Connect Four champion.
I'm a two-time intramural champion at Southern Miss, baby. That's what I'm talking about. At @EA_LSU Tiger. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week, man.
Take care, bro.
You're welcome. Y'all too. Bye-bye.
He didn't sound very thrilled.
No,
two-time
intramural.
I wasn't comparing my championship.
It kind of sounded like it.
No, I hope he didn't take it like that. He did kind of.
He slided.
He didn't chuckle.
No.
I thought he chuckled.
He doesn't like your little intramural championship.
By
to his
no means did I say the Sox championship match day national or Super Bowl championship.
You kind of did.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, a champ is a champ. Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature and humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin-backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone, where we've got more ways to get what you need fast and take care of that fall tune-up. With our free same-day store pickup, you can order online and pick it up today at your local AutoZone. Or we can bring it to you with our free next-day delivery. Just order on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m. and we'll have it at your front door the next day. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible orders. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover the 14th and 18th. That is the two preseason games, Miami and Milwaukee. Bring you home here for Pelicans basketball. Brian Bieniemy, Gus Kattengap. It's been fun today, sir.
It has been, man. Thanks to everybody for listening and sending me the kudos, man. Appreciate y'all. Oh, no, I miss y'all.
I meant not having Jordan again.
Oh, that's what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's probably out trying to, you know, be a clone for Mitchell Trubisky or something like that.
Statistics, apparently, studying still for that test. I'm telling you, he said he was studying all last week.
And he's still studying this week.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, yeah, ain't mean passing that one. Just go ahead on and give it up.
I'm just, again, just saying.
Was it finals? It's finals?
I don't know.
Oh, just something he's doing.
I just find it interesting because when I was at Tulane last, I got a test like every other day over there.
Yeah.
I happened to walk past the Tulane women's beach volleyball team.
Oh, really?
And they left.
Oh.
Yeah, they were leaving. They said we would come back that in January.
Oh, so they're gone for the...
They're gone. Like, the semester's over.
But he's still studying, apparently.
Apparently.
Interesting. You know, next time you're, walking around the pavilion and you just happen to walk by the ladies' volleyball team, can I come?
I would say so, but I got to fill out, like, a questionnaire.
Oh,
to be allowed, and I got to be scanned, temperature checked.
I know how to fill out questionnaires, and I can be scanned.
Okay, that's fine.
You know, for research purposes only.
Research purposes, sure.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I have asked, by the way, Andrea Legretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, if they ever decide to start up, say, women's volleyball, beach volleyball. That is,
color commentator. Look, you can do play by play.
I was on the Southern Miss club team for a little bit.
What the hell didn't you do at Southern Miss?
I was the setter. I mean, I'll commentate on some volleyball.
Look, you can do play-by-play. I'll do color. I mean, you know, they already got a team. You don't even have to pay me a lot.
We're ready to go. We're ready to go.
Couple burgers. I'm good.
Coming up later tonight, 6:30, it is Nichols men's basketball over at Cal, over at Berkeley. As Jack Benjamin will have that for you. We'll speak with him later this week. At some point, they're coming back home. Brian, UC Davis, Idaho State, those were wins. Saturday, they lost to Santa Clara, 73-57. They're at Cal today. They're at St. Mary's Tuesday. And then they do come home, but then they go back on the road to take on number 2 Baylor on the 8th. And eventually, they will play over in Thibodeau on December 10th. But look, it's college basketball, and it's not just them. The NBA, We're still waiting for that schedule. I'm not telling you when the Pels play. They don't know yet. Believe me, I text Daniel every day. Yeah. And they don't even know if they're traveling just yet. It's going to be a weird season how things go. I already had a game or two moved and postponed in our young season. We started Wednesday. Letting you know, it's not going to be like it is before. We got a couple tag team games where the men and women are together, same charter. You're trying to minimize travel as much as possible. And once you get off the team bus in the hotel, you don't leave the hotel until you get back on the team bus to go to the game. So everything's a little different. But I do want to touch on this because I do think this is an interesting point. I said, again, it's a plan. I like a plan.
Plans are good.
So Stan Van Gundy earlier today said four areas where the defense he feels needs to improve next season. We played sound from that podcast right before the bubble started where he broke down the Pelicans to a T.
Yep.
So he knows what he needs to fix. I like that. I can't fix the defense. No, I love Coach Gentry, but Coach Gentry, we just got to play better defense. Well, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Number one, transition defense. Number two, protecting the paint. Number three, cutting down on fouls, and number four, defensive rebounding. These are the four areas where the defense must improve next season. He plans on starting that Sunday when they have their first full team practice. So, Brian, let's just take one at a time here quickly in the last few minutes. Transition defense. That's just getting back on defense. The simple things, man, that somebody told me in coaching basketball. Stop the basketball. Stop the ball. When the ball's coming, get somebody in front of them just to slow them down. Just stop the ball is what it's called. So that's a big thing. Transition defense. Getting back. Hustling back. Mm-hmm. Two, protecting the paint. What does that tell you there?
That definitely tells me that you can't have an Olay defense anymore. The guards have to get up into people's bodies, and the big guys have to protect once they get around.
Steven Adams.
That's exactly who that is.
Zion Williamson, the two players that Stan Van Gundy today said that New Orleans won't get punked anymore. He has told them they drive the paint.
Detroit Pistons used to call it. Like, you couldn't come into the paint without hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That's what the Pelicans
one way, shape,
be.
Or form.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because the number three thing is cutting down on fouls.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is if you're going to foul,
put him on the ground.
Then foul.
Make your presence felt.
And he's right. Way too many. Like, again, Jackson Hayes is a perfect example. He'd come in and get three.
Volleyball.
If you're going to foul, foul.
Yeah.
But also, a way to cut down on fouls is footwork. Yes. A way to cut down on fouls is being in proper position. When I told you this during a break. When
rotations.
I saw that, exactly. And when I saw that, what I saw is we're either going to help or we're going to start seeing some charges on this team.
Yep.
Right? Moving your feet. Number four, defensive rebounding. Nothing annoys me more.
Crash the boards.
It's literally.
It's right there.
It's all about effort and will.
Bingo.
But literally effort and will.
The defense in general, it's all about effort. We were talking about it before the break earlier today. Take it personally.
Let me tell you something. When he wanted to take it personally this past year, especially in the bubble, AD got every single rebound back.
Yeah.
Him or LeBron.
When people slighted AD for a game before, let's say he goes out, he has seven rebounds. And all of a sudden, the national media, what's wrong with Anthony Davis? Yeah. The next week. The next game,
rebounds. I said when he wanted to, him and LeBron can clean the glass, and then he would have like his first rebound would be in the third quarter, and I'm like, that's impossible.
You're 6'11" has no reason.
It's what you want, but then you saw when he wanted to at the end of the fourth quarter, both of those guys, bigs by the way, shut it down. So I'm